May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be ever so nutritional to you all. Amen. In the middle of your bulletins on the left-hand page, you see the two texts that form the basis of our meditation this day. First of all, from Genesis chapter 3, the very last verse, after Adam and Eve fall into sin and God is now dealing out his punishment and also his mercy, it says, God drove the man out of the garden and placed cherubim east of the Garden of Eden with flaming swords whirling to guard the way of the tree of life. And then from the last chapter of the Bible, where the two sections are connected, we read these words, a description of heaven. Between the street of the city and river, there was a tree that is a wood of life, visible from this side and from that. It produces 12 kinds of fruit, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In the name of Jesus, fellow recipients of Jesus' nutritional program, today's topic, as you saw on the front of your bulletins, spiritual nutrition. Now let's start by talking about our physical needs of nutrition. All I have to say today is Toledo, Ohio, and you know the necessity of good, nutritious, clean water. All I have to say is sugar-coated cereal or various kinds of lettuce, and you know that some foods have more nutritional value than others. All I have to say is Flintstone vitamins or Little Critters gummy bites, and you know that some vitamins have a little more nutrition than others. Well, just as our physical bodies need the right nutrition, so our souls, even more so, need the right spiritual nutrition. So let's talk about that kind of nutrition today. Now, Pastor Green, so ably, so faithfully, always is preaching about the means of grace, the three ways by which God feeds us, through the Word, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper. And you should know that there was also a nutritional program way back there in the beginning, way before the New Testament, back there in the Garden of Eden. God had put a whole bunch of fruit trees back there, right? And remember, He said, you can eat from all the trees in the garden except that one. And of course, now you know which one they wanted to eat from. It's like you telling your kids what not to do. That's what they then want to do. You know how that works. Well, in any event, they were also allowed to eat from a tree in the middle of the garden called the Tree of Life. Of course, they chose the other one at the instigation of Satan. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, that started a big problem, didn't it? The tree of life gave good nutrition. I don't know if they ever ate from it at all. Doesn't tell us. I know they ate from the one that gave them the wrong nutrition, and it led them right into sin. Now, God's very interested in eating and drinking. He's given us plenty for our physical lives, and He's given us a lot in the Bible for our spiritual lives. Did you hear that Old Testament reading today? That's kind of a strange one, right? God says to Moses, come up here with Joshua and with the 70 elders of Israel. And then in a vision, He did what? He ate and drank with them. Did that remind you of anything? I would hope that it reminds you of the Lord's Supper, right? A prefigurement. Of course, that was just a vision. But when we go to the Lord's Supper, we get the real thing, right? His real body, His real blood, It's not just the symbol as some churches teach. It is the real thing. Which all takes us to our two texts today. And I'm going to do a little wondering. Have you ever wondered what would have happened to Adam and Eve if they had not eaten, if they had not sinned? Wow, they were in a test period, right? Now you and I know they failed the test. But what was beyond if they had not failed the test? Did you ever sit and think about that? They were in a perfect environment, were they not? But God, who is a marvelous God, can make the perfect even more perfect. Remember, our Lord Jesus was perfect, right? No sin in his body. And yet after the resurrection, he got, shall I say, an even more perfect body, if that's possible, a glorified body. And what about Adam and Eve? If they would have passed the test, would they have lived forever in the Garden of Eden? Or was there something more perfect? Would they have kept their same bodies they had in the garden? Or would they have gotten even, wow, dangerous ground, even more perfect bodies, a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I know the Garden of Eden isn't over there anymore in Iraq, where it was located at the beginning. People say, what happened to it? Probably got wiped out in the flood of Noah, because there's a better garden to come. Isn't that what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in the garden. That's the word paradise. That's what paradiso means. You'll be back with me in the garden. But it was going to be a better garden. We call that garden heaven. But we're done with the ifs. Didn't work out that way. They failed. And their sin was transmitted to you and me. It's called original sin. And the sad reality is this, that the first text before us today says, so God drove them out of the garden. No, not in a Lexus and not in an old jalopy because they had sinned. It simply means he put them out. But the key to the ball game is to read the end. He drove them out. For what reason? To keep the way of the tree of life. There was something wrong with that first tree of life. Oh no, it was a perfect tree. If they had eaten from it, they would have gotten nutrition to live and live and live. But the tree was no good once they sinned. See, the tree could make you live that first tree of life, but once they sinned, it would have made them live in sin forever. That tree did not have the power to first forgive sin and then make them live forever. So God had to get them out of that garden so they couldn't get their mitts on that tree, eat of it, and live forever in sin, because God has not created you and me to live forever in sin. He's created us to live in heaven with him in pure holiness. And so we travel on. So it was out of the garden into the world that you and I know so well today. A world where you can get kind of nutrition physically, if your foods aren't altered, and a place where you can get spiritual nutrition if you are a Christian. And you live in God's word, for what does Jesus say? If you live in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. It will give you life. And so a new nutrition came into effect. The word, if you will. Oh, the word was back in the garden. God just continued it. And he would instruct his prophets who told the people, and they would move forward in faith, trusting God. But the nutrition that God was offering, and which he offers today, is not the Roman Catholic way of nutrition. Now, if you know the Roman Catholic system of going to heaven, all you have to do is picture a large ladder. And in order to work your way up that ladder to get into purgatory and then on into heaven, you know that they work with a Latin term, gratia donum super additum. Very easy. Super additional gift of grace. Every time you do something good, God gives you another dose of grace, which helps you to have the power to do another good work. And when God sees how good you are doing by going to baptism to get more gratia donum super additum, going to the Lord's Supper, not getting married, becoming a nun or a priest, by getting confirmed, by getting married, those are all sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church, then you can have this gratia, this grace, in order to work your way up. And most people only make it to purgatory. Some had so many extra good works like Mary and Joseph and Peter and Paul and James that theirs goes into a treasury of merits. So when you get into purgatory, besides the burning of candles and the prayers for the dead, then you can use some of Mary's extra works and climb the rest of the way up the ladder. That is not what I'm talking about when I talk about God's nutritional program. Your sins are already forgiven before you were born, before you do them. Of course, the Roman Catholics say, wow, is that dangerous to teach that? If the people know all their sins are forgiven ahead of time, then they'll just know, well, I'll go out and do all the sins I want. They're already forgiven. And of course, you know what Paul says, God forbid. If you're happy to have sins forgiven, why would you want to run out and do more of them? Like that would be God's nutritional program of having you do wrong. No, God's nutritional program is that he wants to feed your faith. Faith in him who has already done the entire job for you. He said it is finished. You don't have to do anything to help finish it. And then when he says believe, he's the one who gives you the faith. I'm sorry to tell you, you don't get any credit. If you go to heaven, God gets all the credit. And if you go to hell, you get all the blame. Oh, that isn't fair. I don't think you are going to be making up the rules of what's fair or unfair. I think God is God, and you are the creature, the one created, the one who is bound by scripture that says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's the grace way. The not our way, but it is God's way to get you and me into heaven. And that means that once you live in the faith, a transformation can take place. It can actually transform you. Isn't that what Paul says in Romans? Be transformed, turned around, changed. That means the grumpy person. Oh. Everything's so bad in life. Oh, it's just so terrible. That person living in the Word can actually become joyful. Surprise, surprise. Or you can have the lazy bum becoming a Christian and receiving the right nutrition from God's Word can actually become Christ motivated. Oh, I don't know if I want that. I kind of like the way I'm doing things. And then there's the anxious person, always fearful of their own shadow, right? Oh, it's going to be a bad day. Oh, something's going to happen. I'll bet you a deer will run into my car down in the valley as I am driving. The anxious person, always the worry wart. A transformation, getting the right nutrition from God's word in other places that God sends us, it can actually bring peace into their life and bring them comfort. Those are the things we want. And you know, that's exactly what God wants from us, doesn't it? That we live in his word as he has told us to do. Of course, there's coming eternal nourishment. That's where the second text comes in, because we got a better tree that is in heaven. In the garden of heaven, there is a new tree of life. John pulls a little trick on us, though. When he writes about that, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, he says, "There, between the street of gold and the river of life, there was a tree of life," but he uses a different Greek word than the regular one for tree. He changes to the Greek word wood. There's a new wood of life. Yes, it looks like the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't know how to interpret all that. I'll tell you what, why don't you show up in heaven with me and we'll check it all out, what it really means. Because you see in that one reading today, that rock that followed them was Christ. He was the water they drank. Just like we drink his blood in the Lord's Supper. Strange stuff. And Jesus is worth all the gold in the world, so is he the street that we walk on because he's the way, the truth, and the life? I know he's the water of life, so the river of life that is there in heaven, is that Jesus too? And is that wood of life Jesus? Because he's the important part of the cross, right? Not the wood on which he was. To go around, as many have done, and say, "Oh, I got an original piece of the wood of the cross of Jesus Christ." If you collected all those pieces of wood, those relics, you would have enough to build a house. So I suspect some of them are not original. In any event, Jesus is our all in all. When we go there, it says there will be no sun. Now, I think the old sun is still going to be there because I think God is taking the new heavens and the new earth and he's making them out of the old one by purifying them. But even though there will be that sun, it says in Revelation there is no need of the old sun because Jesus is the new light and he lights the whole world. He'll make the sun look dismal as you look at him. Well, there are a lot of things. And there's that nourishment. Whoa, did you read that in the text? It says that wood of life produces 12 kinds of fruit, one for each different month. Oh, so you get variety up there, okay? Now, does that mean we're going to physically eat up there? I don't know the answer to that. I know you'll never hunger or thirst again, because you'll have Christ. But it says that the leaves on this tree, besides the fruit giving you nourishment, like Adam and Eve were to eat from the first tree of life, maybe we're going to eat from that tree and we will live forever in holiness. I do not know the answers to all that. God has not chosen to give them all. He just puts great expectations out there and makes you intrigued that you should want to go there and check it out. Do not go to hell and check that out, okay? And it says here that the leaves on that tree are for the healing of the nations. That I understand. We are healed from our sins. What Adam and Eve brought in is gone on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, washed away because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. But here, and you know what they use leaves for? Africa. I guess I can say this from the pulpit. When a little baby over in Africa has diarrhea, they have a certain tree in Yambio, they pick the leaves and they put it right up the rump and it cures the diarrhea. Very ingenious people. The leaves are able to heal, just like the Bible says. Well, the bottom line is this. Don't follow Adam and Eve and not eat nutritionally. They ate from the wrong tree, the wrong stuff. Eat from the stuff God wants you to do. Eat from your devotions daily. Eat from the word that is preached in church and in Bible classes. Go to the Lord's Supper and receive Jesus' nutritional program of his body and his blood. In other words, spiritually eat nutritionally all your way to heaven, so that you will be there with that wood of life, namely Jesus our Savior, who will keep us forever in some great new form and with some great new program no more struggles, no more anxiety, no more grumpiness, no more worries, that he will take care of us. May God grant that it sinks into your heart and that you eat nutritionally of his word and of the supper. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.